This? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, my goodness. Steve clearly is not here today. He is in South Texas ministering at a church there that has been using his book, and he went there to teach to them this afternoon. He's probably going for it right now. I am excited today about this word, because what I want to share with you is that we need to buckle up, or we're going to have to buckle under. And I think in this world, certainly Gary just shared some events that have happened this week that are letting people know, you know what? Life without hope, and by hope I mean Jesus, life without hope is not worth living. There's not a party big enough. There's not a bank account big enough. There's not fame enough. Because when all those things don't fill you, at the end of it, there's just no hope. So I want to share with you this. And the text that I have today is out of Ephesians chapter 6. And it says, put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. A lot of times I talk about God's tool belt. And it's something that helps me. I'll be doing something and I'll think, is that in God's tool belt? Because if it's not, I don't want to be using it. So this week, there was an obituary, some of you may have read it, that went viral. And by viral, that means that's how people have now gotten their esteem and their value, if something goes viral or not. How many hits did you get? How many likes do you have? How much notoriety can you get from it? But this was extremely sad to me, and I want to read it to you. And it's just the picture of a little lady. I think it's big enough you can see. Just a tiny little obituary, little white-headed lady. And it says, Kathleen Dunlow Shunk was born on March the 19th, 1938, to Joseph and Gertrude Shunk of Wabasa. This is from Minnesota. She married Dennis Brimlow at St. Anne's in Wabasa in 1957 and had two children, Gina and Jay. In 1962, she became pregnant by her husband's brother, Lyle Dimlow, and moved to California. She abandoned her children, Gina and Jay, who were then raised by her parents in Clements, Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Shunk. She passed away on May 31st, 2018 in Springfield and will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that this world is a better place without her. Yeah. I want you to know that there'll be a group of people who'll read this, and they'll be like, yeah, she got what was coming to her. Yeah, I'm glad. And I think that when we see these things and we hear these things, like the things that have been in the news in the past couple of weeks, the things that many others have suffered that we know are painful. I want you to understand today that if ever there was a time that we need to stand for what we believe and stand for truth, it's today. Would you say that's a correct statement?
Yeah.
But the good news is today for you and I is that there's nothing that's going to happen to us that God can't turn for good. Can you just repeat this after me? This is not plan B. God has plan A for my life. I'm going to live plan A. I'm going to have plan A. And I'm going to have it with joy and victory. That's a truth, guys, that this world is wanting to snuff out of you and get you to believe that you're never going to have joy, that you're never going to have victory, that the tide is turning and darkness is taking over and, ooh, scary. And I want you to know, the good news is that no matter how dark the world gets, you and I get that much brighter if we shine Jesus. It's good news. He wants this for us. And this life is not all that you get. And some people are forgetting that. Some people are buying into the thing that this is all I get, so man, I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to get what I can out of this world. Can you imagine the pain that those children who wrote that obituary must have lived through. But can you imagine that there was pain in that woman's life as well for decisions that she made in moments of passion that changed not just her life, but the lives of so many others? I'm just curious, and don't raise your hand, but how many of us, when we see these things or we hear these things, do we take them to prayer, or do we just take note of it and say, oh, this world's horrible? Because today, the good news is that we can take this belt and we can stand with truth and not be afraid of what the world has to do to us and not be afraid of the headlines and not be worried about who's going to like me and who's not going to like me, because you and I have a Savior who is determined to love us no matter what. And He has plan A for your life, not plan B. Well, you know, this happened to me and that couldn't have been God's will. Well, you can read all through this Bible and find other people who could have said the same thing. But the truth is this. In this world, you're going to have trouble and you're going to have tribulation. Whether you serve God or not, here's a truth, and this is in His Word. You're going to have trouble. In this world, you're going to have hard times. Is that because God is evil? No, it's because the world is evil. And there's an enemy who's taken over the power of the world. He's on a lease purchase plan. He's leasing it, but the purchase price has already been paid. We're going to get it back. And when he does, when the King of Kings does come for us, I want to tell you, those people who are going through trials are going to recognize He was my protector. The sad thing is you and I can't see the many, many things He protects us from. So we just take it for granted and get in the flow of the world that, well, you know, God, He didn't notice that. He let that bad thing happen. Yeah, God, He really doesn't care. No, God cares, but the only way those bad things are going to turn for good is when you're trusting God and you know Him, not just as somebody who wrote a book, not just for somebody who was a good man or a prophet, but you know Him as your personal Savior because He wants to take care of you. Well, some of you go, well, that's what the Bible says, but you know, you Christians, you're unsophisticated. You're a bunch of, you know, nerds, you're goofballs, you're dweebs, you're whatever the current phrase is. But I want to tell you, I want to read to you what Gandhi said. And this was a writing from Gandhi, okay, on things that will destroy us. And I found that anything that's true, I can find it in this word. And here's what Gandhi said. These things will destroy us. Politics without principle. Pleasure without conscience. Wealth without work. Knowledge without character. Business without morality. Science without humanity. And worship without sacrifice. See, the gospel has become good news only if it's going to benefit me. I don't want it to cost me anything because, you know, He wants me to prosper. He wants to bless me. I want to tell you, and many of you can agree with me, that the most I'm blessed sometimes is when I'm helping someone else and giving something that costs me something to somebody else. And that fulfillment and that joy comes into me. I'm telling you, I know some of you are eating that up right now, and I want you to understand it. There is nothing that's going to happen to you that God is not going to turn for good when we keep His Word and Him as the carrier, because He's truth. Well, I did a little survey this week. And before I get to the survey, I'm going to read to you out of Ephesians 4, and I'm going to start at verse 26. But don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge. Not for even a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser of the devil an opportunity to manipulate you. Because that's what's happening. It's manipulation. There is a blanket manipulation going on to get you in agreement with the one who's on the news the most, the one who makes the biggest stink, the one who has the most people show up and show out. Don't be manipulated. Never let ugly or hateful words come out of your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. The Holy Spirit has sealed you in Jesus until your full experience of salvation. Verse 31. Lay aside bitter words and temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults, but instead be kind and affectionate towards one another. God has graciously forgiven you, right? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Jesus Christ. So here's my little survey. I sent a survey out, I think it was about 12 people that go to this church that I know use tools. And I sent a survey out and I said, tell me what the top five tools are for you, priority, which are five tools you really want to have. Well, now somebody just said Jesus, because I guess they thought I was going to judge them on whether the answer was, you know, holy or not. And somebody else had a real good list of Jesus things, but I really just meant it like natural physical tools. And someone wrote back and said, which job is it for? And I was like, that's a good question. Because, boy, it takes different tools for different jobs, right? But the top three answers and the most that was replied, the screwdriver and the hammer tied for first and second. And third place was the tape measure. Now, there were a lot of different things, you know, and some were power tools and all these things, but everybody had those three on their list, basically. I think tape measure didn't make a couple. But I thought it was really interesting, and I prayed, and I was like, Lord, I want to use the right tools to show people today what's in your tool belt. And so I'm going to use those three. That was my little, let's see what we come up with. So let me explain something to you first. In the natural, a hammer is a tool or device that delivers a blow, a sudden impact. It's used to drive nails, it's used to break things apart, and it's also used to forge metal. A screwdriver is to force something to tighten or loosen. It'll either have a flat head or a slot head. A tape measure measures the distance as length, height, or depth. It's a needed assessment before cutting, drilling, or nailing. So let's look at the hammer real quick. The hammer, you know, the Avengers has Thor, and he has the big hammer, right? Well, that's kind of how the hammer got started. A hammer wasn't just a tool to build or to work with. They used hammers for war because there weren't weapons of trajectory. So you had a sword or you had a hammer, or you put the hammer down, right? You were going for it. So that was part of it. In 2012, there was a French scientist who actually is working in the United States, and they were studying a lake in Kenya, and they actually found what they believe is the world's oldest hammer, okay? So they did one of those tests on it to test its age, and it was 3,300,000 years old. Now, I don't know, I'm just telling you what they said. But they believe that that makes it one of the first tools that there was. So, a hammer is meant to deliver a blow. In this piano that Dwayne was playing so beautifully today, there are little felt-covered hammers. It's called a hammer. And when it strikes the right chord that's at the right width and the right, it's bound tight enough, it's what sends the different sounds of music. So a hammer's not always a bad thing, right? So that's something that can make music. There's also a very tiny little nice hammer, and on these beautiful silver vessels and things and with bronze or gold, lots of times they hammer out that metal to make it look pretty. And you've seen these farm sinks now that are copper, and it'll say it's hammered copper. So it can make things beautiful as well. But a hammer amplifies your force. So I'm going to give you a little science lesson. Just stay with me, because the natural is always found in the supernatural. So a hammer by itself really has no great power. And that's called, if I have this hammer like this, This is called potential energy because it's in the position where it can do something. If it's in the belt, it really doesn't have potential, okay? But it's in my hand. There's potential. Don't look scared, Cassie. I'm not going to let it go. But there's also this thing that's called inert. And inert is what this is now. Inert means it's just dormant. Nothing's happening. It's not moving, okay? And that's because all tools are going to have some kind of human intervention. Even if they're computer, they're going to have something human to tell it what to do. So this is potential because now it's in position to do something. But it needs kinetic energy. And what kinetic means is it's got to have a motion, okay? Now, you've seen these oil wells that look like big hammers going up and down. The motion comes from a motor. But you and I, most of us who use this, we use the potential, which is the position, with the kinetic, which is the motion, and that's called mechanical energy. It's working. It's causing something to happen. Okay? So, you know, I'm a girl, and so I'm kind of thinking, well, I see that hammer, but couldn't we just make that pretty? I just think, you know, if I have to use a hammer, I want it to be pretty. And so I go and I say, you know what, I'm going to do this, and then everybody's going to know that is my hammer. Isn't that pretty? Yeah. So, yeah, Chuck, you can take all this off later. I borrowed this from Chuck. But sometimes that's what we want to do. Then there's the jackhammer. That's that big one, you know, like breaks up roads and everything. And there could also be a meat cleaver is considered a hammer. You know, it's a little square and it's got all those little things. And man, bam, 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 and it, boy, it makes that meat just flat. Y'all like that chicken fried steak. I'll go quick so you don't get hungry. And then the other thing is, you know, there's a sledgehammer. And it's just a big, you know, I can do a little bit with this, but you get me a sledgehammer, I can probably do more. I may not look like powerful, but if I had a sledgehammer, I could probably do something big. But the thing is, we don't use these tools against each other. We're using them to build up something, right? But I'm watching tools that are being used to tear down. And I don't find those in God's tool belt. I'm not finding hate and being right and having to be justified because of what I believe to the point that I would shun you, to the point that this really amazes me. Do you notice how many people are labeling people in the name of justice? Well, we don't like you because you label me. Well, didn't you just label me as a labeler? We're going to shun you. We're going to have nothing to do with you. We're writing you off. If anybody has anything to do with you, then they're just bad people. Isn't that the same as the shunning, you know, that the Quakers did or the Amish or whatever they do? Because, right? And we think that's wrong, but we look at it in the media and things. We're like, yeah, yeah, that's a cause. That's something I can get behind. But I don't find that in God's tool belt. I don't find hammering in God's tool belt. I find truth in God's tool belt. And what happens is that we can take these things and we can use them the wrong way. Now, the other day, true story, I'm hanging up some curtain rod, and I've got the little doodad that holds up the curtain rod, and I've got a nail on the doodah, and I've got a nail in my mouth, and I'm like this, and I'm like, you know, pressing it because I want to get a little mark, and I'm thinking, wouldn't it be better if I had a tool belt, right? And I kept thinking about that, but the thing is, so I'm looking at the nail, and I grab the hammer, and I have to stay focused, right? But if you don't keep your eyes on that nail, what is going to happen? There will be a misuse when we lose our focus. Now, if you are taking notes, there are notes on the back of your Sunday handout. But if you're using, you know, notes, and this may be some, all of you will remember, but I want to tell you, if you hit yourself with a tool, I've got something for you to say, and it'll feel good when you say it, and you'll feel powerful, And everybody be like, whoa, okay? But it is Shangi Bayo. Ooh, Shangi Bayo. People think, ooh, she's having, but watch this. What is the Chinese phrase for God help me? Shangi Bayo. Okay, I'll do it again just so you can hear it. Here it comes. Yeah. So that's the way you can do it. Ooh, Shangi Bayo. Now, even experienced people can make mistakes with tools. Now, I don't want to embarrass Ken, but yesterday Ken was up here working really hard. Ken is an experienced man. He knows what tools are and he knows how to use them. And there was an accident while he was working at the church, making this yard beautiful, and it is beautiful. And he cut himself, and how many stitches did you have to have? Four? Three stitches, right? Okay. So sometimes an abuse, a misuse of something can cause us pain, right? So Ken, today, are you selling all your tools? Are you never going to use them again? You're going to use them. More carefully. That's my man. That's what I wanted to hear. Because sometimes when pain comes, it's not because we're going to give up and quit what we're doing. It's because I'm going to learn how to be smarter. I'm going to learn how to be more careful with what I have. And I may even out of it find a better way to do something. I got these cords and I'm vacuuming the other day. And, you know, you turn around furniture and the cords get on top of each other and then you're like, ugh. So I was like, I'm gonna work this. So I put this cord around my arm and I told myself, this is a giant bracelet. You are beautiful. And I took that cord and whenever I needed, I'd undo a little. And when I didn't, I'd put it back up. And I never had cord trouble. So sometimes you learn things, right, from how you use them. Well, just remember, Shangi Bayo, whoo, Shangi Bayo, yeah. So you don't have to worry about what happens when you hit yourself. A screwdriver is going to require elbow grease. You're just going to have to, ooh, yeah. And how many of us take a hammer and a nail and get it started before you do the screwdriver? I do that. Because, you know, I want a little, I feel good, some guys raise their hands, thank you. So you do that. But the truth is, why is it that we find that tools are also magical? Because when you go to get them, they're never there. Right? And you're like, "Who? Where's the Phillips screwdriver?" You know, well, you can use this. No, I don't want to use, you know, the regular one, the flathead. I need the Phillips. But they, for some reason, they go. And the other thing about screwdrivers is, no matter how great you use them, be careful. Because if you try to get in a hurry, you can strip off the top of that, and it is never, never, never going to work. You probably have to take the end of the claw part of your hammer and pull it out and just start over with something different, okay? That's how it works sometimes with screwdrivers. But here's how we do. Well, I'm going to get me a power tool. I'm going to get me one that's plugged in, and I'm going to go for it. So here I am hanging up these curtains the other day. And I decided that I was in a hurry, and it wasn't going fast enough, and so I pulled the trigger all the way. And I'm getting it in there, and all of a sudden it from went to, and I was like, okay, you've done it. You've stripped that screw now. And I thought, I am ready to finish this project. I got my hammer out, whammo. I just finished it, right? Well, that's going to work for today, but it won't work for forever. You with me? But sometimes we get our tools and we get in a hurry because we just want to finish this job. I just want to complete. Let's get this over. So I'm going to put more muscle to it, more of my strength, more power, and I'm going to make this happen. And what happens with that is that we forget who the source is and we begin to say, well, if this is going to happen, it's up to me. I'm going to make this happen. Now, as Christians, we can consult God. But now, none of you do this, okay? I know it's just me, okay? So, no, it's a guilt-free zone. But sometimes when we go to God and we ask for something And we feel good about it, like, yeah, God wants me to have, you know, that understanding. And if it doesn't come quick enough, I'm going to make it happen. Right? I'm going to make this thing happen. And truly, if we don't wait on the Lord, I'm operating in a way where I'm going to have a misuse because I'm not focused on Him, and that's when I get hurt. God does not need our help. God needs our obedience. So, many times, I think about this too. We tell God what we want. We don't get it the way we think. And then we get upset at God. But can we be honest? How do we even know what we want? We don't see the end result of something. Don't you really? I read the biography on Kate Spade. Her goal really was, she was in with magazines and beauty, but her goal was that she realized that women just carried these bland-looking purses, and she wanted something with spunk and personality. And so she designed a couple. She had magazine people who noticed it. They got her noticed. Her marketing strategy worked. Women were like, yeah, I want something with a little pizzazz, a little spunk on it. And it became a world thing. But do you know that she sold her business a couple of years ago for like over $1 billion? She had input, but no longer did she have the final say. So I'm thinking about this. She had all the money at her disposal. She had family. She had a lot of friends. I've seen their comments about her, but something was missing, and it's hope. Something that's missing from this world is what you and I have. You and I have hope. But if I let the world tell me there is no hope, people say, oh, it's bad, and I go, yeah, I know it's bad. Oh, it's bad. That's right, it's bad. Well, we're just going to pray. No, I need to say, I've got some good news. It may look bad, but God can turn this around in a second. It may look bad, but I want to tell you, why don't you and I just join hands right now and pray? Let's pray for the family of Kate Spade. What can they learn from this? Let's pray so that the people who worked with Anthony Bourdain, I mean, the man had just finished a meal with someone, and he's going to tape this show, and they've already made plans, and they're taping the show the next day, and the same guy finds him. And it's a suicide. Because something is missing, and the what's missing is hope, and you and I have it. If we need something from somebody, if we're using the world, if we want something from the world, that's abuse. I shouldn't want anything from this world because He's giving me everything I need, and I shouldn't be seeking after the things of the world. Because I'm going to tell you something, God will put you in amazing places, and some of them you won't like. But He's positioning you to bring life and to be life to other people. Well, let's move on. So now we got a tape measure. You may not know all these little things about a tape measure. Tape measure is a marvelous, wonderful instrument. It's rigid. This little thing's rigid. And this one even has a little stopper on it. Some of them don't. Like, it'll stop. So if I'm measuring something and I don't have somebody with me, I can stop there so I'll remember where it is. Then I can put it back down and measure it. But on the end here, there's a little thing right there. It's a little slit. And so really, if I don't have help, I can put a nail in something, just a little tack, and hang it on that. And I don't even need somebody. I can just figure out where I'm going right like that. But some measurements are rigid. So let's say I'm measuring the top of the curtain. I'm measuring this to the windowsill. Well, you know, that's rigid. I can't turn and get a good reading. On the side of this instrument, this tells me this is actually 3 inches wide, or 76 millimeters. So I can put that back up there and measure and let my tape measure stay level with the window. And then I say, okay, that's 41.5 plus 3, 44.5 inches. That's going to be right. Okay? Then there's this other little thing that looks kind of serrated like a knife. And what you do with that, let's just say that you're working on a project but you don't have a pencil there or somebody to help you, you just take that and you just move it across there and you make a line so you know where you were. Here's another fun thing. I know that I can put a nail in this and I can go all the way around in a circle and I can make a perfect circle without having to have a protractor. So there's lots of things I can do with this. And the world has taken the tape measure and they've said, here's our standard, let's see if you measure up. Here's what we expect from you, and we're rigid. So we're cutting you off right there. There's other tape measures that aren't rigid. My mom had one that was paper, sort of flexible, and it was for sewing. So she could take it and put it around your whole body, or she used it up and down, but it was flexible. I want you to know, in God's tool belt, I don't need any of this. In God's tool belt, I don't need any of this. Because the belt that He tells me to keep on me is truth. And if I walk in truth, I'm going to be able to stand. But you know what? God needs my help. And so when I see people that are not living for God right, you better live right. Right? You're going to burn in hell forever. I wonder how many more people would want to go to hell just to get away from me. I mean, I'm kind of curious, because at the end of the day, I'm probably not on the level. Oh, yeah, it was going to happen. It was going to happen. But God doesn't need any of those things from us. What God needs is for us to get in agreement with Him for truth, and we're going to make a difference in this world. I'm telling you, in this room today, you are going to make a difference in this world. Well, Gay, we're just sitting in Haltom City. I'm telling you, there is no plan B with God. There is plan A. Can I get off plan A? Absolutely. But God never does. God can redeem where I fail and recommission me and put me right back where I started. But I'm going to have to get rid of the tape measure and quit saying, did I measure up? Oh, is this good enough? Is it straight? Well, there wasn't anybody here to hold this and help me. I want to tell you, there's somebody who's been holding you and helping you whether you've seen him or not. And his name is Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you some supernatural uses. If you have your Bible or if you want to grab a pew Bible, I'm going to tell you where we're going to go with this for the hammer. We're going to go to page 821. And we're going to end up at 2 Corinthians 10. And I'm going to read to you verses 3 through 5. That's page 821. Open this Bible or your pew Bible. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have a divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see, the power is that the world has their potential ready, they're positioned to put the kinetic, the motion with it, and let you know you're not good enough. You disagreed with me? Ack, wrong. You're bad, you're evil. That's not in the Word. But the Bible tells us that in the last days, people are going to call evil good and good evil. And are we there yet? Sure we are. And if I'm teaching this message to you today saying that I'm better than anybody else, you've missed the point. The point is God wants every person. He wanted the woman in the obituary to know His great love. And He wanted her children to know His great love. And I'm going to promise you this. You cannot write an obituary. You cannot write a letter. You cannot give enough dirty looks. You cannot watch someone enter prison and be satisfied and get closure. Oh, we need to send them to prison so we can get closure. I'm not saying that people don't suffer consequences, but I'll tell you this. Every time when the man who killed our daughter was up for parole, they would send us a letter and ask us our opinion. And I would go to God and say, what's your opinion? Because the world tells me, let him rot there. But my spirit said to me, there's a wife and three kids that are waiting on a dad to get home from prison. And so I wrote and said, I'm happy for him to be released as long as he's off all drugs and he will be safe. That was his third offense, driving intoxicated. Alcohol and drugs. So if you have a preference, let's just lump them all together. What was the point? I'm not going to feel better if he stays in prison. I'm going to feel better if he's restored and home with his family. Oh, well, you can take his retirement fund. Let's go after it. Let's go after his retirement fund because he took your daughter's life. I don't want his retirement fund. That belongs to his wife and his children. They need that. I don't need that. God's my provider. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? The world wants you to get your answer here and be angry. Put the hammer down. Put the screws in. Let's measure. Do they measure up? None of those things are in God's tool belt. What God wants us to do is love and forgive. And not because I'm condoning someone if I forgive them, but I am setting myself free from a life of hatred and bitterness once I do forgive them. Listen, be patient with people who can't forgive. Don't call them sinners and hate them. Pray for them. Pray for these kids, Gina and Joy. Or whoever the Jay, Gina and Jay, these kids who wrote that obituary about their mom, pray for them that whatever it is will be healed in their souls, that they can move forward because they're staying bound because the world keeps telling them, you have the right to be angry. You have the right to be mad. If I have the potential, but I never put anything to it, it becomes inert, dormant, sluggish, and it will not produce anything. But God doesn't want you and I to do it. Our power, we are positioned in front of the King of Kings, and when I put my motion, when I put my focus onto Him, I am releasing the things of heaven, and I need to have enough sense to say, God, you only have a plan A for my life. I didn't want this to happen. I don't enjoy this happening. But God, I want you to know, whatever you want me to get out of it, let me get it. And I will say this. I'm not very experienced in a lot of things, and I don't have a degree in psychology. My husband does. And he's very experienced. You all know that he goes to suicides all the time. You all know that he deals with horrible car wrecks and murders and things and goes to comfort families. You know that. But Steve has told me this, even on his limited and my limited knowledge, we know this. If somebody wants to kill themselves, they're just going to do it. There's no, oh, I'm gonna. Well, if you don't do this, I'm gonna. That's a bargaining tool. When people have no hope, they're just done. They don't think there's any reason they can live. And most of the times, people who are very suicidal will be very happy because they believe they're about to be through with their pain. But it's because we've taught them that this is all you get. If I teach them the truth, this isn't all you get, there's more. And while I'm on this earth, I can have life and life abundance. That's where the joy kicks in. Would you turn to page 855 in your pew Bibles? This is going to be James 3. We're going to read verse 16 through 18. It's on page 855. This is like the screwdriver. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. I got to know when to quit or I'm going to strip out the power. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your heart, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then it's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy, it's full of good fruits, it's impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise the harvest of righteousness. Now, if you would, just turn, we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians 3. And that's on page 828 in your pew Bible. Ephesians 3, verse 17 through 21. This to me is like the tape measure. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. There's no measure on earth that's going to fulfill you but the measure of God, because He gives peace. He gives true love without condition, where you have to do something to earn it, and if you don't do it right, we're going to take it from you. And He gives joy in the middle of situations so that your mind can rest, because when I keep my mind stayed on Him, He'll keep me in perfect peace. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to His power that's at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Boy, we get into these pickles, we get into these jams, and we get so upset at God. And I want you to know something. God is putting you through training paces through these things you're going through. An experienced man who doesn't just have experience, but who has the vision to make his hands make something beautiful. Ken already told you today that what his incident did was make him going to be more cautious now, and he'll know how to protect himself. He's not quitting. I look at Moses, and God had positioned him, his mother from birth. He still had his mother, even though he was in the house of the Pharaoh. His mother told him, you're called of God. You're going to be the one. You're going to set these people free. God's going to make it happen. But he got impatient because it wasn't happening quick enough. And so when he's out in the field and he sees how the Egyptians are treating the Hebrews, he murders the Egyptian because God isn't working fast enough. And then he has to bury him. And then he has to run away because now he's committed murder. And so he runs away. How many of us run away when we sin? We go to hide. And he ran away, and what happened was he goes to this desert place, and God sent him to the man who was the father of the woman he was going to marry, because he needed a desert woman to help him because she wasn't spoiled by the palace. So he goes in and he gets this woman and he goes back, and guess what happens? He's still running because he has this failure on him that he's afraid of. Keep listening with spiritual ears. And then when he gets in there, he's got his tool belt and he's trying to figure everything out. And he has this burning bush experience. And he goes to the bush because it's on fire, but it's not being destroyed. So he's looking at it and he gets a recommissioning right there at this bush. And the Lord tells him, I'm still going to use you. You're still going to do it. And what does he say to the Lord? I'm not capable. I don't have a good voice. Lord, I can't do that. I'm not the one. You know, go to Aaron. Go to Aaron. How many of us are facing people who are hurting and we say, oh, well, you know, if Miss Gay or Pastor Steve was here, they'd fix that. I need you to do it. I need you to start loving people. I need you to start loving people in this church. I need you to start reaching out beyond who you are into other people's lives. We need you to be who God's called you to be. And today there's a recommissioning going on in this service. And I'm either going to say, yes, God, I'll do it, because I know He's going to give me help for where I'm weak. Because the truth is, I need to stay weak, or I think I'm all that, and I'll get unfocused and get hurt. I need to stay focused on the fact that I'm not it. I'm not the answer, but I know who the answer is. And I know that He's my source, so I don't need a resource. I'm not going to make this thing happen. Yes, I'm going to do that. I don't want to do it, but I can guarantee you between now and the time that I am laid to rest and jumping on the streets of heaven, I can guarantee you I'm still going to take things in my own hands because that's just who I am. But the Lord loves me, and I've learned not to run from Him, but to run to Him. Oh, you know, well, that was Moses. He had to do something great to set the people free. How about Peter, who denied Him 3 times? How about that? Man, how many times have I denied knowing who God is to people just by acting like I'm not a Christian? Just not by telling who I am or not even offering prayer. I've done it more than 3 times. I can guarantee it. But I'm learning to do it more and more because somebody needs to get set free. And I may not be the one to see them completely free, but I am going to be the one who's going to put the light out in this dark world. Boy, I need to walk with truth. And I don't need to walk with this truth about, well, you know, oh man, Hitler, he had truth. He was almost ready to take over the world because he had a truth. I'm not into Hitler's truth. I'm not into Stalin's truth. I'm not into Freud's truth. I'm not into, you know, Dr. I'm okay, you're okay truth. I'm not into what, you know, Marilyn Monroe's truth or John F. Kennedy or anybody else. And you know why? Because they're all dead. I'm not into Buddha's truth. I'm not into Muhammad's truth. I'm not into Joseph Smith's truth. Why? Because they're all dead. I'm into the truth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who is alive. And He still speaks to me today. And He says to me, little girl, put your tools down. Because the world's got a belt full of them. I want you to take the truth and I want you to put it around you because I am going to set you free. And don't get in a hurry, because when you get in a hurry, you'll start to worry. Oh, but when we don't worry, that'll send the enemy to scurry, because he knows you're about to hook up with some power, because you recognize who your power source is. And I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something today. Plan A is God helping you go through what you're going through so you and I can relate to other people and He gets the greater glory, not because I didn't have any trouble. That's not what means I'm favored. What means I'm favored is that I have trouble and I've come over it. Linda, when you were in the room with your husband who was almost dead and you were facing things one after another that were bruising your spirit and trying to kill your soul, you dug your heels in and you said, not on my watch. And you used the power of God and you didn't have to use, well, I hate and I'm going to fix this and I'll get rid of you. Guys, when we walk in the power of God, no demon on earth can stop it. But when we walk in our power and our understanding, we get tripped up. We get abused. Oh, shungy deal. Yeah. God help me. God help me. That's the cry. And I'm telling you, Martha, you may think you're just taking bread down there to that steel mill to those people. Mostly men you work with, but you're taking the bread of life. I want to tell you something. You may think, oh, I'm just giving a smile today, Karen, at this bank. Oh, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do because, you know, that they want me to do it. But no, you'd be singled out because your smile's different. I want to tell you something. You have great power in you, but stop waiting for these things to happen before you use it. God is wanting to recommission you today to serve Him. And I want to know who's going to answer the call to serve Him today and pick up where you left your anointing. Pick up where you quit waiting on God. Pick up where you messed up and say, yes, God, today. Yes, God, today I'll serve You. And I'll take this burden off me and I'll trust You. Amen. Anybody in here willing to do that with me today? Amen. Stand with me. God's plan is always going to be through love. And the world is saying that we're haters because we don't agree with what they're saying. I can disagree with any group or any cult or any division. I can disagree with them and still love them. I can do that. Anybody that sells anything different is trying to manipulate you so you will join forces with them because they still believe this is where the power is. Well, I'll fix this. I'm going to get this done. You'll see. I'll get this done. We're either in the process of resisting God's truth or we're in the process of being shaped and molded by His truth. The world is trying to manipulate you and form you into molds that are contrary to the Word of God. Just because people are motivated by hate, don't you hate them. You don't have to agree with them, but you don't have to hate them. That's the fuel the enemy uses, but he cannot squelch the power and love of God as long as you and I are in agreement that he's in control and we're still going to love, because that's how we're going to roll. It's not too late to become who we are, who God says. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." For with God nothing shall be impossible. But you don't know. But with God nothing shall be impossible. But it's been so long. For with God nothing shall be impossible. But you don't know what they did. For with God nothing shall be impossible. But I've already tried this 12 times. For with God nothing shall be impossible. I'm telling you, there are people in this room today who are not believing that they have the power, the love, and the anointing of God, because they're still at the place of their failure saying, "That's why God can't." And I loose you today and set you free by this truth, that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world, and with God all things shall be possible. Amen. I want you to believe that. We need to believe it today. I want you to put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. That's our text today. There's a bigger picture, and here's the bigger picture. If you've got a cause, if you've got an issue, if you've got something that is proven to be right, that was really wrong, like Gina and Jay by their mother, release it. Release it. Release it. Some of you need to go home and write letters to the person you're so angry at. The thought of them just sends you into just a pure frenzy. You need to go home and write them a letter and say, "I want you to know I forgive you today for what you did. I want you to know that I forgive you, not because what you did was right, but because I want God to make it right in my life. So I release this control so I can take hold of what He has for me." You don't even have to mail the letter, because some of you be telling them off in the forgiveness letter. You don't have to do that. But if God tells you, go and free them, because that your unforgiveness may be the reason they can't accept their call. What if we set each other free to be who we're supposed to be? What if I loved you so much, Itza, that it was okay with me if you needed help every now and then? And it was okay with you that I need help every now and then, because we still believe in the God we serve and we don't have each other on the pedestal. How much better off would we be knowing that we have help, that He wants to help us? All tools are useless unless you put a hand to it. There's potential, but we got to put some motion to it. My motion is not my salvation. My salvation, I'm going to heaven. But my motion is, who can I take with me? Who can I take with me? Who can I free today that someone else hurt? Let me tell you something powerful. You go to a person who's offended and they're mad at somebody, "I hate them." And you put your hand on theirs and you say, "You're never going to hear it from them, but I want you to know I'm sorry for the pain that they've caused you. I free you from that pain. Be free today." Because you know why? The devil tells you you need an Ansari. You need them to line up, to tape measure up to what you want. You'll never get it. You'll never be satisfied. He'll have something else for you to be infringed with in your spirit. Forgive and be forgiven. I'm going to ask those that know how to pray and want to pray today, I want you to come to this altar, because I want us to come to the altar and pray today. I want to know who in this room is going to say, "God, I'm not going to give you an excuse, but I'm ready to pick up the mantle that you've called on me. I'm ready to pick it up and be who you want me to be." If that's you, come. I didn't have this pre-planned. Come to this altar today. If you'll just put that music on for us so we can just pray and believe for one another. There's somebody here who wants to pray with you. Do you need to be sent back to the altar? Do you need a recommissioning so you can have the faith that you're who He's called you to be? I'm probably looking at a 200-mile radius right now, people, of where you live from this point. What if we sent Jesus out in 200 miles of direction today? We're going to pray. And I want you to pray. Yes. Ashley, I want you to go over. Would you help me? I've got an envelope for you on that front. But I want you to come over, and I want Janahan. I want you to pray with Ashley. Nelda, come over and help her pray. If you want somebody to pray with you, find somebody down here. Get in a group and let's start believing God for our recommissioning today. You ready? If you don't buckle up, you're going to buckle under the pressure. Today we're going to trust the Lord. Amen.